Thank you so much, Pastor Mac, for that. Oh, I go there? Oh, all right. Because I thought this is the place. Oh, okay, good. Okay, great. Preachers like to stand here. Oh, this is nice. You know, I've been a preacher for 30 years, so this is the good place for me. Thank you. It's such a joy for me to come here, back to this church. And I'm very thankful to all of you for your prayers, your support for our ministry and mission in India. So it's a privilege, it's a joy to come back and share what is happening there. We, as Pastor Mac briefly shared a few things, you know, about what we do. We station in the very central part of the country. We are there for almost, in that particular locality alone, we are about 30 years, last 30 years as missionaries. When I say missionaries, you know, I use that word missionaries, people have a doubt. Even in India, you know, they say you are not a missionary. You know, the moment you say missionary, they look at your face. If you are not a white man, then you are not a missionary, you see. Missionary, mission and missionary always connected to the West. That is what in India it happens. But in the true meaning of the word missionary, we are missionaries because we are from a different location, different culture, different language, geographically about 1500 miles away from the place where we work, between the southern part of the country to the northern part, you know. Why has that to be done? Because Christianity in India, we have only little over 2% of Christians, and most of those Christians are in the southern part of the country. You know, where early missionaries came and came to the faith. They are in the southern part of the country. So there are many Christians there. And what happens to the mainland of India, the core of India, the hub of Hinduism and all, not much Christian work has taken place, not much mission has taken place. Earlier, foreign missionaries used to come and they used to stay in the southern part and in cities. But after 1975, all foreign missionaries, the government has banned. It is not allowed for anybody from outside of India to come into India as a missionary, on a missionary visa. It is not allowed. So this has caused a major problem. So many of them who were working in different capacities in India had to leave the country. To reach then unreached places where churches are not there, churches are not planned, it became our responsibility, our Indian responsibility. So when I was a student in 1973, I traveled to the North India just as a student and went to a college. When I went over there, I didn't know the language there. I was part of a college, it's an English medium college, but the language of the people, Hindi, of course, is the main language of the country, but still I was not able to speak because my language was different. But when I see around and the life there, it was terrible. It was terrible. As a new Christian, when I looked at Christians are not around, no churches around, you travel hundreds and hundreds of miles to find a small assembly, even a church even. The Hinduism everywhere, Hindu religion, superstition everywhere. You know, I started praying and seek the Lord whenever I had. You know, this created a kind of a burden in my heart, desire in my heart. Resulted in God called me for Christian mission. So I humbly submitted my life in the hand of the Lord. Then I went to a seminary in southern India, got training and came back to North India. And since then, we are working as missionaries. I got married in 1983, and since then, as a family, we have been working as Christian missionaries, preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, sharing the love of Christ to the millions of people around in that country. India is such a large country. You know, we have almost 1.3 billion people, to say it is very easy, 1.3 billion, but to see them, you know, floating everywhere in India, It's a scene in itself. I was just sharing about the city of Bombay. If you go to Bombay and stand on a railway station, we call railway station, all these trains in the, you know, comes every minute you will see a metro station, a train passes. And they don't have any doors. It is all wide open doors. And people, you know, inside and outside hanging, sometimes even on the top of the building, you know. I'm not exaggerating. You could see that. Even in pictures, you must have the hundreds of people sometimes sit even the top of it. Because these people have to be accommodated. And that's the sign. That is a kind of a symbol of the population of the country. And you stand on the platform, you will be pushed inside. You inside there, they will push you out. You know, they see that you don't really do anything unless you are trained in. You cannot travel in a city like that. This is Bombay, even today. Other cities are not like that. So people everywhere, you walk anywhere, you would see them, you know. So that is huge population. But the fact is, all these people are, where are they going? You know, if as a Christian, as a missionary, if it's the love of Christ in our heart, the question that comes to our mind is, where are all these people going? And if I believe that Jesus Christ is the only Lord, and one can have eternity only through the Lord Jesus Christ, and if I believe that Jesus is the only way, the truth and the life, I know where they are going. So that is what, you know, prompts us, that keeps us going every day. When these people are millions going to a place, we know where they are going. And what can we do? Somebody has to preach the gospel. So that is the burden that we have, which the Lord has helped us in all these years. I don't claim that I have done something, but I believe it is simply the Lord's grace, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ has strengthened us that we are doing this work. Because the work in India and the ministry in India is not that easy. We have a lot of challenges. Challenges of Hindu fanatic, Orthodox Hindu fanatic movements. That's the number one challenge of opposition and persecutions. They do have that because they don't want us to do the kind of work we do there. They are very organized. They are militant. Very recently, they came into power in India. You know, first time after our independence, they have been working and working, and finally they got to power last month. So that's a major challenge. When you work, you have opposition, persecutions and oppositions. Your work is not, you know, when you preach, you don't know what's going to happen to you. So that's everywhere there. Then, of course, the need around. And we get overwhelmed, you know, by seeing the need around. The poverty of the people. You know, many people, we all, you know, we are proud that India is growing, economy is growing. But the economy is growing only, money is going to the pockets of only a small group of people. And that is the fact. It all goes to some people. But poverty is very real there. Very real there. Our church, for an example, I'll tell you, the small assembly where we work as a pastor, every month we make, you know, food packets for the poor people on the streets. All what we are able to do is 200 to 300 packets of food we make, our people come and prepare. And then we go to the streets in some place, and as soon as we reach there, you don't have to stand there and invite people to come and food, you know, because these people, poor, needy, hungry people are there, they come and just grab the food and go. Because we know people don't come and eat unless they are hungry. You know, all other things free, you may take it. But food, only when you are hungry, you will take. And these people come and take it. So these are only very few, but millions there, poverty. Children and women are the two groups of people in our country, the most neglected group. According to the statistics of UNESCO, UNO, they say 4 million children, if you can think of 4 million children die every year in India before they can see their 5th birthday. Before 5 years old, 4 million children die every year in that because of malnutrition or some kind of a sickness or abuse or many other reasons, you know. This is a major task. As Christians, when we work in a city, we cannot ignore them. So we have initiatives to reach the children. One of the projects that we do to reach the children, we call it Anmol Kids. Anmol means precious, because we see them as precious kids. We go to different, as I know, centers of the city, bring these children together in one place where we have rented small buildings. There we help them, teach them, wash them, clean them, to give a kind of an encouragement that they go to school, give motivation. And these are children, otherwise become the criminals if they survive. You know, many of them among the 4 million who died before 5. But those who survive become criminals because their parents are not supporting them. No one is interested in them. You know, they are street kids going to big cities and become a major stumbling block. So we are trying to help these children. What we do is we go and teach them, clean them, our volunteers, our trained staff, they go and help them. And then we, you know, alphabets, songs and stories, Bible stories also we teach them, songs they teach them. They get initiated. We supply them some books, you know, backpacks, some shoes to them to go to school. Give them encouragements, and we want to get them to the school so that a change can happen into the society. Because we do this because we are compelled by the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not because somebody has told us to do it. It's not a project. It is not a work. It is something that is initiated by, you know, by the love of Christ in our heart. Because I believe children are very important and very close to the heart of Jesus Christ. Because in the story, when the children came to Jesus, all of us know, when children came to Jesus, even the disciples said, let them go, let them not come to the master. And the very moment Jesus said, no, don't forbid the children to come. And he took the children in his hand and blessed them. And I believe that should be the spirit and heart of Christian. Take them in our hands and bless them. So we work with the kids. We have an orphanage. These are girls who otherwise would have no place to go. We have taken few girls. They live with us. We have brought them up. They are cute, beautiful girls. Now they're growing. And we help these children in the orphanage. We also work with the women in the slum areas. Slums are clusters of people living in one area of maybe around 1,000 families, 1,500 families. So we go to those kind of slums and run small sewing centers. My wife Daisy is doing that. She helps these women, teach them, you know, along with her other volunteer women. They teach them to sew so that some kind of a skill they can get. And also they come out of their family or home situation. Women are always looked down in this kind of society. So our intention with the love of Christ again to raise these women up, you know. So these are activities that we do along with the primary task that we do is training people and planting churches. That is what we do. We are not really working only just to try to convert some people. But what is happening now in India is in the rural villages. India is primarily rural. Other, you know, you look only the cities all the time. But 70% of the Indian population live in rural villages. All these villages, most of the North Indian villages are unreached. You won't see any Christian presence in most of these villages. So how what we are doing is, the burden in our heart is to take the gospel to each and every village where it is possible. So we try to find somebody who can go and live in that village and preach the gospel and plant a small church there. This we have been doing. In this last 3 years period, we have planted at least 70 churches in several areas of our region. Our goal is, next 2 years, that to go to 200 at least. At least 200 village, small nucleus of, say, like 30 or 50 people gathering in one place and establish a church. It's like planting a small plant which would grow and reach the neighborhood. That's our vision. And the vision is to reach all the neighboring, that whole region. And the Holy Spirit and God is working with us, and we see a tremendous breakthrough. It is not individuals now coming, it is churches are mushrooming every day. You know, someone comes up and say that they plant one church in this village, another 3 days they say they plant another church. So this is what is happening. The Hindu opposition and fanaticism taking place in one side, but the other side, in a tremendous way, God is moving. I believe this is a time for our country. So I'm encouraging all the time our people and our own people and our church members to understand the time. You know, there is a Greek word which called kairos. Kairos means special, God's, you know, appointed time. You know, many of us believe, who I believe it is from the Lord, believe that it is a kairos moment for India. Why I said it? Never in the history, I am my missionary for 30 years, I never seen this kind of move. People are hungry for the gospel. People are coming to the church. Churches are getting planted. And our own people are coming to become missionaries. So this is a kairos moment. So we are encouraging people to join in this moment so that India will become a nation who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I believe that is possible. Do you believe it is possible? If God is working, it is possible. So we have come here to share these things and talk to you that you pray for us. You specifically pray for this kind of activities that is taking place. My full name is Matthew Varghese. My wife is Daisy Matthews. So pray for us that we will continue this work. Our goal is 70 to 200 churches. When I come next time, I want to stand here boldly and say that we have planted 200 churches. And this is possible. I believe this is possible. Because I see a small hand like a cloud which, you know, Prophet Elijah saw it. You know, when everything was dry, Elijah was praying. He sent the servant outside to see it. So the servant, you know that story. The servant came back and said, there is only a small, that also after the seventh time, came and said, I saw a small hand like a cloud, little palm like a cloud. And Elijah said, this is the beginning of a great rain. And this is what we see. Some of us are seeing only it as a small cloud now. In my region, 6,000 villages are there. I'm talking about 200. You see, one day it has to reach 6,000 in that region. But this is a cloud at this point of time. We are helping 200 kids. Our goal is another few years, we want to help 1,000 kids in the city alone. This is a huge city where we work. It's called Bhopal. Bhopal, B-H-O-P-A-L, Bhopal. It has 2.3 million people. 2.3 million people in our city. And how many Christians? We can count it. Less than 0.1% in our city. And a lot of Muslims. And poverty issue, all kind of major issues there. But we want you as a church who has supported us in the past, continue to support, and we are very, very grateful and thankful to the elders, the pastor, the deacon board, and Mike, who is the elder in the mission. And we are so thankful that what you are doing with us. Please continue to pray. And if at any time, if you can come over there and help us in either teaching the kids or helping the women or preaching in the church, you are very welcome, because we need a lot of people to come and do it. And we have needs. We are looking for sponsors to sponsor our small kids in the orphanage. We are looking for people to supply some materials to the sewing center to buy a sewing machine, or some way or another, we do not know. Supporting one of our pastors in the village planting program, because we have to stand with them, because these are pastors who go to the village and they have nobody else in the village to support, at least for the food. So there are several ways. If anybody wants to be part of it, you can be part of it. And the good news is, God is doing great things. We have a new government, nationalistic government, but we believe what Jesus said. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall never prevail over it. And that's our slogan. Christ will prevail, and no power of the enemy can prevail over the church of God. We know what happened in your country, China. We know what happened in some of the communist countries and Islamic countries. The same is God doing in India this time. This is the time for that country. Thank you very much for allowing us to be here and sharing a bit of our life and testimonies. We want your prayers, and we are here for a few days sharing and meeting our people. We will be going back very soon, back to India. It's about 15 to, you know, if you fly straight, it's only 15 hours, but sometimes it takes 20 hours if you take a break. And then we travel in train, hours and hours. My hometown to the place I work, it takes about 45 hours in train. You know, we sleep 45 hours from my hometown to my place of work. This we do at least two times in a year because we have people back there. But we know we are there with a cause. We are there with a purpose. And God is with us. Thank you very much. May this church be a blessing to many, many people around the world. Everybody in this church, we are so thankful. God be with you. Thank you so much.